Hello, welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Samuel Davies. In this episode, we speak with Charlotte Lamb, Principal for Involvement and Decision Making at NPC, about lived experience. We talk about why charities should consider bringing lived experience into their organisational culture and why this is important and could help them to thrive. So without further ado, here is Charlotte Lamb speaking about lived experience. Delighted to be joined by Charlotte Lamb, Principal for Involvement and Decision Making at NPC. Charlotte, welcome to Charity Chat.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Maybe if we start by talking about your background and what's led you to your work at NPC.
Yeah, sure. So I actually started my career in the corporate world, in management consulting. I work for one of the big four accountancy firms in a team called People and Change. So we looked at the sort of people side of big transformations within organizations, so team structures and learning and development, but also culture and change management, which is always the bit that I found really interesting, that kind of organization culture piece. And I guess ultimately really thinking about how people make decisions in organizations and what influences that. So that was really, really interesting to me. But I became more and more interested in sort of society's complex social problems that had a lot of meaning for me. So I sort of pivoted from that, took a bit of a detour into psychology postgraduate. Obviously, my interest in decision making led that, but really was looking to apply kind of what I'd been doing in the corporate sector in the charity sector. I also loved being a consultant. I really like solving problems and working, you know, with clients. So I ended up joining NPC as a consultant, which really, I think, married a lot of the things that I was looking for. And it was such a great place to work as me being new to the charity sector. You know, you learn so much from so many amazing kind of colleagues and clients who work in lots of different parts of the sector. So it's really, really good chance to learn a lot about how the sector works. So I've been at NPC for 7 years now, and I've spent a lot of that time working with charities and funders on their strategies or theories of change, or kind of anything related to governance. And I suppose really supporting those decision-making processes that go alongside that. And as the years kind of went on, I became increasingly interested in how lived experience plays a role in that, or sometimes doesn't actually, as well, you know, unfortunately, but began to really see the value and importance of lived experience, where it was playing a role in that decision making. So I've been leading NPC's work on involvement and decision making for a couple of years now. So really thinking about how charities can center lived experience in what they do and how they do things. And one of the things I love about it is really getting the opportunity to collaborate with others in our sector who've really been championing the value of lived experience for years and sort of really understanding, you know, learning from their insight and expertise and thinking about where NPC can add value to the space.
NPC, you guys have done a lot of interviews with this, which has been brilliant. And we've learned a lot about the different elements that you're involved in around the sector, and it sounds like you're, as an organization, you must have a very good grasp on all the different types of challenges that the sector, as diverse as it is dealing with. So can you talk a little bit about NPC, what it is and how it's made up of and how many people there are?
We do lots of different things, so I think people in the sector come across us in different ways, and so often kind of have a different picture of where we sit. So we are a consultancy and a think tank, that's how we refer to ourselves. We're a charity ourselves, and our mission is to help make the sector as effective as it can be. So we do that in a number of ways. We work directly with charities and funders through our sort of consulting work. So that can be working on sort of anything from developing a new strategy to developing a new theory of change to developing an impact measurement framework. So lots and lots of different challenges or kind of issues that charities or funders might be working on. So that's really good. And we work with, you know, organizations big and small to do that. But we are also very keen to improve practice across the sector, not only with those we're working directly with, but those that we aren't working directly with. So we publish a lot of guidance, which comes from that kind of experience working directly with organisations, you know, what works well. So we publish a lot of that guidance. We run events, we run training, all kind of with the idea of improving practice across the sector to increase impact. We also do what we sometimes refer to as our innovation work. So we think it's important to not only talk about what works, but try it for ourselves. So we run a few projects where we think, hey, this is an idea. Let's do a version of it. Let's try it and see what we learn and talk to the sector about it. So I think actually my colleague Tris was on this podcast a while ago talking about open philanthropy, which was one of those examples of that work. And we also see ourselves as a sort of advocate for the charity sector. You know, we think about how the environment can be improved so that charities can operate at their best as well. And there are about 40 of us. It goes up and down like any organisation, but around 40 of us. And we work together in an office based in London, but we do have clients all over the country.
What do we mean by lived experience, and why is this an important part of organisational culture for charities?
So when we're talking about lived experience, we mean the experience or experiences of people on whom a social issue or perhaps a combination of issues has had a direct impact. So obviously the type of lived experience that's relevant to your charity will depend on your charity's mission. And I think, you know, thanks really to a movement led by lots of leaders with lived experience and advocates over many years, I think charity leaders are increasingly focused on making sure that lived experience is influencing what the charity does and how they do it. And I think, you know, it's so valuable because, you know, I think experience that you gain from, you know, your professional life or from perhaps academic learning, you know, is obviously incredibly valuable. But really, without that firsthand knowledge of issues and how they're affecting people on the ground right now, it's very hard to respond to those issues in the most relevant way. And it's very difficult to know what your blind spots are. You know, you're kind of operating with a lot less knowledge, really. And, you know, I think people with lived experience really have the best insight into what's going on, the challenges they're facing, and what can be done about them. So I think charities that are really drawing on that lived experience and the value of it can, you know, better engage with their audiences, have a much better sense of what they need to be doing, and ultimately be more impactful because of it. So I think that's why it's sort of so valuable. And I think one of the things that we talk about, which was in your question around it being part of your culture, is really key here. So it's not just about drawing on lived experience occasionally or here and there, but actually really trying to make sure it's embedded in your organization in a way that's sort of strategic and systemic and becomes part of your culture, because that's when you'll get the most benefit from it. So often that requires, you know, actually quite a significant cultural shift. It's not just a sort of, you know, something you can add to your list to do. It's something that really means quite a big change in how you operate sometimes. So, you know, I think it means often being open to doing things a little bit differently. A good example of this that, you know, we come across quite a lot is on charity boards. Often charities sort of think we need lived experience to be influencing our board decision making a little bit more. So, you know, some organizations have tried sort of recruiting a trustee who perhaps has some lived experience. But actually, if it just stops there, and you kind of continue to do everything else the same way, often organizations find they don't really tend to benefit that much from that lived experience that's on the board. And it can end up feeling a bit tokenistic as well, and maybe not the best experience for that new trustee as well. So really what we talk about in terms of embedding lived experience in that culture is to sort of say, yes, you need to make sure that that lived experience is there and in the room and part of that decision making, but also really ask yourself the question, how do we need to change our processes or the culture on our board so that we can make the most of that lived experience? So, you know, do we need to meet at a different time of day? Do we need to change the structure of our meetings or our board papers? Do we need to train, our trustees in a new skill or to interact in a certain way or chair a meeting differently? And all these sorts of thinking, thinking all these things through can help you think about that question of, it's not only bringing lived experience to the board, but thinking about how can we get the most benefit from it, because it's so valuable.
And I guess on the board kind of point there, I suppose that is that also a general point that organizations should, on the one hand, they're looking for certain people to fill certain posts on their board, but there should be some element of flexibility within how they operate, how they chair meetings and how they talk to their board in order to really draw out those individual skills and perspectives from across their board as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is actually one of the things that talking to organizations we found is that by being very open to doing things differently and perhaps changing the way you do things, not only has that enabled organizations to benefit from the lived experience that's on their board, but actually a few organizations said the whole governance process is a bit better because it makes us think more about actually what skill do we need and how are we recruiting people, how are we making decisions in general. You know, it sort of adds that level of process or scrutiny to the whole process, which can really just improve how you make decisions as a board. So I think often it does have that knock-on effect.
Is there an element of hesitation, do you think, from the kind of embracing lived experience? If it means, do you think it, in some people's minds, it could mean that they're no longer the right person to be supporting an organization because they don't have lived experience? Is there a negative kind of view based on that, you know, it's not a club I should be part of because I don't have that experience, or is it something that can better be seen as a benefit rather than something that should prevent somebody from supporting an organization, for example, or being on a board?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question that comes up quite a lot. I think when we're talking about lived experience on boards, I think some of the most valuable conversations are really about obviously the benefit that lived experience brings, but also the combination of that lived experience with perhaps other skills and experience, and how, you know, there's no formula for how it should be. There's no, you should have this and that on your board. Every organization is different. But I suppose I would challenge boards to think about that combination of skills and experience, of which lived experience is such a valuable part of, but it's not the whole story. So I think that's where I would encourage organizations to think about that. And different organizations will have different stances. You know, some might sort of feel that actually lived experience needs to be something that everyone on the board has. You know, that's just where they want to be. Other organizations might not feel that way or might look at it differently. But I think it's about thinking about where it does feed in and the benefit, rather than sort of, I guess, you know, it meaning anything black and white about other skills.
Do we have any examples of charities that already demonstrate lived experience within their culture, and what benefit has this brought to them?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of what we often refer to in the sector as lived experience-led organisations. So, for example, the National Survivor User Network or Expert Citizens, who, you know, as it said, they are already living and breathing this because people working for those organisations have lived experience, and that's really central to what they do. But you don't have to be founded by and led by those with lived experience for it to be an important part of your culture. And recently, we've been working on some research with 10 charities in the sector of all shapes and sizes, who are trying to centre lived experience in their work, and drawing on that to create some guidance for charities, which I can talk a bit more about later. But we saw lots of great examples through that. So one example is St Basil's. So they're a charity based in and around Birmingham. They work with young people who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of it. And they really put young people and their insights at the heart of what they do. So one example is they have what they call their 12 youth standards, which they developed alongside young people, I think it's about 140 discussions, so a big process, which are basically key principles and values which act as standards for everything they do. So an example of one of them is communicate expectations, rights, responsibilities, and co-develop house rules with young people, or be caring and building trusting relationships. So always having young people's best interest at heart and be honest and genuine. So these are things that young people have told them are really important about how they think the charity should operate. So those standards help them guide everything they do and hold sort of leaders, I guess, accountable to operating the charity in that way. Another great example is Your Voice Counts, so a charity based in the northeast of England, and they support people with learning disabilities, autistic people, and also people at risk of exclusion due to disability or illness. And they're a charity that's always had lived experience right at its heart ever since it was set up. So it's always had the majority of its board members being people with lived experience, and also their staff team includes people who have autism or learning disability as well. And I think one of the things this helps organisations do is to think really differently about problems. You know, a lot of the challenges that these organisations are tackling are, you know, complex, what we often call wicked problems. You know, there's no easy answer. And I think it's, you know, it's not that the answer is obvious at all to anyone, but I think having that lived experience built into those discussions and conversations within the organization helps, you know, stop the system making the same mistakes over and over again. You know, that learning of how it worked last time is built in. So I think that's really, really key. I'd also mention Refugee Action, who've been very public about wanting to shift power within their organization. So, and how they're working alongside an anti-racism working group and expert by experience networks that they have to do that. So, for example, their expert by experience groups kind of shape and guide all of their work on campaigning. The majority of their trustees have lived experience. And, you know, one of the things that they're really focused on is making sure that there are career pathways within Refugee Action itself for experts by experience. And that its network is really influencing everything that they do.
And has there been anything to show that approach has helped the organisation in terms of retention of staff or raising funds or any other kind of meeting certain objectives?
Yeah, I think, I mean, both those things that you just mentioned are things that people often talk about. And it can be, you know, there's often conversations around how it's helped the organisation. So, things like more engaging strategies, a strategy that feels really kind of emotional and tied to the kind of the real needs, so it feels really relevant. I think also there's often people talk about credibility and trust. So actually having those relationships and really listening to the people that you're supporting creates more trusting relationship with that group, which enables you to do better work. So that's a good example. And often as well, we shouldn't forget the impact of being involved with the organisation on people with lived experience as well. You know, a lot of people we speak to talk about increased confidence or, you know, proving that they're capable of working, perhaps doing something different to what they've done before, and those sorts of things. So lots and lots of different types of benefits depending on, you know, your journey as an organisation and what you do.
And MPC are in the process of releasing a practical guide for charities on making lived experience part of their organisational culture. What type of tips and guidance will charities find there?
Yeah, so we've been working with lots of other organisations across the sector to really explore how you can centre lived experience and what is important to get right to do it meaningfully. So 10 charities have been involved in our research. We've also been guided by a brilliant steering group of people who have lived and learned experience in this area. So Angela Newton, who's the chair of the National Survivor User Network and founder of Lived Experience Matters. Antonia Ferreira, who's a mental health activist, campaigner and public speaker. Beck Hanley, who facilitates the Shared Learning Group on Involvement. David Ford, who founded the Expert Link. And Josh Harsant, who's the head of voice and influence at Barnardo's. So it's been brilliant working with them and really learning from them and helping, you know, so they can shape this guide. And NPC, we're also really grateful for a generous contribution to this work by City Bridge Foundation. So it's been a really collaborative effort. We've spoken to people who play different roles in these charities. So from senior leaders to experts by experience, to volunteers, to trustees, to staff members, to really understand what makes centering lived experience meaningful and the journey that they've been on as an organization. So the guide draws on this amazing insight and knowledge and summarizes steps that charity leaders can take to doing this well in their organization. So I would say there's lots of practical resources already out there which we link to. But this guide is really aimed at leaders and those who are thinking about taking a strategic and systemic approach to this. So it's really intended to support them through that process and break down the different steps into thinking that through. So there's so many things in the guide that, as well as sort of highlighting the ingredients, if you like, that you need to meaningfully centre lived experience, which, just to give a few examples, are things like having the buy-in from senior leaders, being open to changing how you do things, which we've already talked about, committing to sufficiently resourcing and supporting the organisation to do it. So as well as sort of talking through some of those key ingredients, it breaks down things into a few different steps you can take, which I think can be helpful when things feel very, you know, sometimes it can feel like a bit of an overwhelming task and you don't know where to start. So some of the things that we talk about, some of the steps are, again, as I've mentioned, how important it is to be open to changing how you do things and to really make the most of lived experience, being prepared to listen to what it will take and do something about it if you need to. And I think really you need others to be bought in to do that. You know, I think you need that buy-in and kind of, I guess, across your team to sort of commitment to doing it that way. We also talk quite a lot about how important it is to sort of define and agree why you want a centre lived experience and what good looks like for your charity. So what do you hope will be different because you've centred lived experience, and how will you know if it's successful or making the change that you want to? And importantly, what does that look like for your charity? You know, if it will look very different depending on the context you're working in, the size of your organization, your mission, your values. So really being clear around why you want to do it and what you want to achieve. A bit like any plan, you know, to be successful, knowing where you're going is good. And thirdly, there are lots of ideas in there about questions to think about in terms of structures and processes that you might need in place to do this well. So things like, what are the different ways or mechanisms of bringing in lived experience? How might you upskill your staff or experts about experience so you can kind of maximize that value add? How will you resource this work? Like, what are the different costs you need to think about? So a lot of sort of practical tips and guidance around how to set it up well. And I think really the message from there is sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming about where to start. There's a lot in the guide, but really one of the messages we heard from our research partners is, you know, if it feels overwhelming, start somewhere and do that bit well, put some real, you know, thought into that and make it considered, even if it's a small thing. and then build from there. So learn from that. And there isn't really a rule book or a handbook in how to do this. So I think every organization has to go on their own journey a little bit to think about, okay, how's this going to work for us and the people that we support? So lots of things in there. And just one thing I'd say is throughout all of this, it's important to start how you mean to go on and include people with lived experience in the process of working out your approach and what you want to achieve from it. That I cannot stress enough.
Hope the guidance will achieve in the long term for the charity sector.
So I like the use of word long term here because I think that was really our focus when we were thinking about the guide. You know, this isn't something, as I said earlier, this isn't something that's on your to-do list and you tick it off when you're done. But actually it's about creating a long-term shift in how your organization operates. But really, I think our aim with this guide is to equip charities with guidance and support to then help them start on their journeys to do this really well. And I think if we have organizations that are really meaningfully centering lived experience, we have charities that are addressing needs in a more relevant way, that are engaging with the people they support better, and ultimately delivering more impact. I think also, you know, for people who are with lived experience and engaging with charities, you know, they're having a better experience of that. And, you know, maybe there are kind of other opportunities for them that come alongside it. But also, I think generally valuing and emphasizing lived experience can do even more beyond each individual organization. I think actually it has the power to sort of challenge perceptions in our society about who can lead and who can sort of make decisions, which has implications sort of far beyond individual organizations and would contribute to a sector that shares power and holds lived experience really at its heart.
Charlotte Lamb, thank you for contributing to Charity Chat.
Thank you very much for having me.
Big thank you to Charlotte Lamb for sharing her insights and expertise with us here on Charity Chat. Lived experiences of the work that your charity is doing and space that it's working in can be a real benefit to meeting your organisation's objectives. It can also give a head start in thinking differently about problems and bringing new solutions to stop the system from making the same mistakes all over again. Lived experience-led organisations have the power to challenge perceptions about who can lead and who can contribute to effecting change. By demonstrating that, lived experience is ingrained in their work to external stakeholders such as funders, an organisation can also show its commitment to the work it is seeking to fund. You don't have to be founded by or led by those with lived experience to be effective. By demonstrating an openness, willingness and proactivity to bringing lived experience into your organisation, from the staff you hire and the makeup of your board of trustees, your organisation will demonstrate a values-led approach. However, organisations must avoid being tokenistic in their approach to lived experience. You need to embed the experience in the culture by changing processes and the culture on the board. This might involve changing the structure of the board, meeting differently, chairing meetings differently, and skill building among your trustees. The idea of changing your board makeup, structures and processes might be daunting for organisations. However, the benefit of bringing lived experience into your organisation could bring benefits both internally and externally. Making a start is the first step, and then building from there. The free NPC guide will be coming out in the next few weeks, and we'll be listing it here on our website when published. We'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback and how you're getting on with making lived experience a part of your organisational culture. So thank you, dear listener, for getting this far with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to enjoy the podcast. We'd love to hear either way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, plus share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. We're going to be making a change to our Charity Chat scheduling from here on, moving to a monthly episode and bringing on some wider discussions about a number of topics relating to the sector. We'll help to untangle some of the challenges that many of us face in our daily work and provide guidance on how we can improve our approach, our efficiency, and our effectiveness. Stay tuned for our next episode in November. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. These are Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, Magda Axsmith for our beautiful website, check it out at charitychat.org.uk, and Forrester Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out now. That's it from me. Keep on doing what you can. Speak to you soon. Cheerio. Bye-bye.